How can you be too evil for the Nazis? That's a question for the 36th Waffen-Grenadier Division of the SS, better known as the Black Hunters, or just the Dirlewanger Brigade. A violent band of thieves, rapists, and murderers even before they put on the SS uniform, this brigade was so vile that even other members of the SS hated them. Today, on A Day in History, we'll see how this group of men earned themselves the title of the worst brigade in the SS. By spring 1940, Germany was dominant in Europe. With vast areas of Europe under occupation, it needed men to keep order and put down the lingering resistance groups in captured territory. Since the best men were already being sent to the front, the Reich looked elsewhere for men to fill the ranks of the occupation forces. Hitler had the perfect candidates, poachers. Poachers were criminals who wouldn't be called up for military service, but they were also fit, healthy, and had some skill with firearms. Hitler and Himmler had a romantic view of poachers as a sort of rugged Aryan warrior, untamed by society and capable of mastering the wilds. If the Nazis needed to hunt down rebels and partisans in the forests of occupied Europe, there were no better candidates. The order went out in March 1940, and by June, a selection of 80 convicted poachers were assembled in Oranienburg to begin training for a group that would be nicknamed the Black Hunters. This band of recruits ranged from regular men on the wrong side of the law to more brutal criminals who just so happened to have been caught hunting on the wrong land. But the character of the group would be determined by its leader, a singularly repulsive and evil man named Oskar Paul Dirlewanger. Dirlewanger was a disgusting human even before joining the SS. A drunken sadist with a love of gambling and prostitution, he'd earned combat experience in the First World War, but never left the violence behind at the front. After 1918, he joined the far-right Freikorps militia, where he was involved in violent put-downs of worker strikes and targeted harassment of minorities. Despite his propensity for violence, he was not a mindless thug. He held a doctorate in political science and ran a factory for several years. Dirlewanger was an early member of the Nazi Party, joining during its early days in Munich in 1923, and worked his way up the ranks over the next decade. His career seemed to end in 1934, when he was caught and convicted on charges of paedophilia. His rank and doctorate were stripped, but his connections in the Nazi Party saved him from languishing in jail forever. His friend Gottlob Berger, a senior SS official and associate of Himmler, managed to get his sentence reduced and he was released in 1936. Dirlewanger was given the chance to join the Nazi Condor Legion, sent to support General Franco in the Spanish Civil War. There, his combat service, rife with accusations of brutality, earned him exoneration for his past crimes and a restitution of his old rank and honors. On Berger's recommendation, Himmler chose Dirlewanger to lead the new poaching brigade. It was hoped his own criminal past and record of brutality would bring the new men into line. Dirlewanger would make these men follow his lead, but he would take them onto an unspeakably evil path. After a few weeks of training, the new brigade was assigned to the Lublin district of Poland to act as security in the occupied zone. In theory, they were there to root out partisan activity. Records show no evidence that they encountered any such activity during their months there, and the group suffered no casualties that would indicate such encounters either. In practice, the brigade's main goal was control, surveillance, and policing of the civilian population. They enforced curfews, seized suspect individuals, and hauled off Poles to labor camps or execution. Dirlewanger's brigade carried out their duties with a pattern of excess brutality. Prisoners were beaten and girls were raped. Patrol dogs were unleashed on civilian crowds, leading to several deaths. In one case, De La Vanga injected prisoners with strychnine poison, just to observe the effects. De La Vanga and his men lived like bandit kings. With no accountability, they could loot and seize anything they liked. The camps never complained about having a few new alleged partisan prisoners, and everything they left behind was ripe for the taking. They were known to burn buildings after looting them, possibly to hide the bodies they'd left in their wake. The group numbered only a few dozen at this time, but over several months in Poland, they amassed hundreds, if not thousands, of victims. But with no partisan breakouts and no casualties, their time in Poland was considered a success, and the group was reassigned to Belarus in January 1942. If Poland was a prelude, Belarus was the real thing. Having been taken during Operation Barbarossa in summer 1941, Belarus was still a hotbed of Soviet resistance. The De La Vanga Brigade arrived in February and quickly joined serious anti-partisan operations. For many brigade members, it was their first taste of combat. De La Vanga led his men into battle personally, where he relished in the slaughter. Most of the combat occurred during large-scale sweep operations. The brigade participated in at least 55 of them during their time in Belarus. Coordinating with other units, they would designate entire areas of the countryside to be swept clean. These designated death zones were open season. Any target was legitimate. Any individual a potential partisan, every building an enemy base to be burned. The orders handed down were simple. The entire population, men, women, and children, dead or alive, is to be expelled from the region. In May 1942, the brigade suffered their first combat casualties against enemy partisans. They responded by burning the nearby village to the ground. In another three-week operation, the group reported 1,400 kills, a rate of around 3 every hour. The group also cleared ghettos and urban environments during sweep operations, such as the Slutsk ghetto, which the brigade burned down in late 1941, killing hundreds of civilians. Reports of the group's performance flowed back to Berlin. They were described as being, quote, better suited than any other troop for anti-partisan combat and difficult terrain. The Poacher Brigade was exceeding expectations. By early 1943, the brigade's role had extended to evacuations of civilians, chiefly Jews, to concentration camps as part of the Holocaust. In May 1943, the brigade joined the single largest sweep operation in Belarus during Operation Cottbus. Sweeping the region north of Minsk, the several-week operation claimed over 20,000 lives in less than a month. De La Vanga's brigade racked up a huge share of that body count. De La Vanga boasted that his men had killed some 15,000 people since operations began. He received special praise from Himmler himself for his strategies to clear minefields. What was that strategy? Gathering a bunch of civilians and sending them running through the field ahead of his men. Scholars have examined the reports sent by the brigade and found a chilling discrepancy. For every captured weapon the group reported, suggesting the victim was actually a partisan, they reported 8 to 10 people killed. The group was clearly calling in civilians as partisans to inflate their performance, and perhaps fewer than 10% of their victims could credibly be considered rebels. The rest were civilians, men, women, and children alike. Their brutality stood out even among the authorities of the Eastern Front. Members of the brigade seemed to delight in chaos for its own sake. They would round up whole villages into a barn and burn them together. Not because it was more efficient, but because they enjoyed it more. Prisoners were regularly beaten, raped, tortured, or killed before ever seeing the labor camps they were designated for. In late 1943, the German-appointed General Commission of Minsk wrote to German High Command to complain about Dirlewanger and his men. Here, the name Dirlewanger plays a particularly significant role, for this man, in the war of annihilation he wages pitilessly against an unarmed population, deliberately refuses to consider political necessities. His methods, worthy of the 30 Years' War, make a lie of the civil administration's assurances of their wish to work together with the Belarusian people. When women and children are shot en masse or burned alive, there is no longer a semblance of humane conduct of war. The number of villages burned during sweep operations exceeds that of those burned by the Bolsheviks. It is staggering that even the Nazis on the Eastern Front had to plead with High Command to rein in the brigade. However, these calls were met with resistance, as Himmler and Berger defended Dirlewanger from investigation. Complaints about Dirlewanger's sexual violence and sadism were suppressed, and the man was promoted instead. Far from being punished, the brigade was rewarded, with new recruits through 1942 and 1943. With manpower strained, though, the Nazis began scraping the barrel. Taking advantage of the group's sinister reputation and Dirlewanger's direct, usually violent approach to discipline for his men, the brigade became a dumping ground for the worst men Nazi Germany had. By 1943, thieves, rapists, and murderers were being assigned to it. They fit perfectly into the brigade and only fueled its brutal behavior. By 1944, the tide of the war was turning decisively against the Nazis on the Eastern Front. Now swelling up to 750 men, Dirlewanger's men were moved westward in the face of the Soviet advance. In summer 1944, they were back in Poland. On August 1st, with the Red Army marching ever closer, Polish rebels led by the Armia Krajowa Resistance Group launched a daring uprising in Warsaw against the Nazi occupation. 20,000 Poles took up arms in one of the largest rebellions against Nazi occupation. They hoped to kick out the fascists before the Soviets could enter and claim Poland as their own. The German response was swift and brutal, with the Black Hunters as the tip of the spear. Alongside the Russian collaborationist Kaminsky Brigade, a group with its own sordid history of atrocities, the Dirlewanger Brigade began systematically sweeping through the capital from August 4th. The Warsaw Uprising was the most intense and bloody experience that the brigade had during the war. In a matter of days, the brigade killed thousands of people over a few hundred square meters. The August 5th Wola massacre saw them systematically eradicate every living human being in the Wola district of the city. Rebels and civilians, nurses and nuns, women and children. They stormed hospitals to execute the wounded in their bed, gunned down priests on the altars of their churches, and violated girls in their homes after murdering the rest of their families. Even babies weren't spared, with reports of brigade members using them for bayonet practice. On August 5th alone, the brigade slaughtered 12,500 people. They had killed over 30,000 by the time the uprising was crushed. The reports of the violence were staggering. Even Himmler, who by this point was consciously engineering the extermination of Jews and other minorities, ordered SS units to monitor them. He feared that their inhuman savagery might lead them to turn on fellow German soldiers. The Polish rebels punished them for it, though. The brigade entered Warsaw with just over 800 men, but thousands more would cycle through it over the two-month effort to suppress the uprising. In all, the brigade reported over 2,500 casualties by the end of the uprising, around 300% of their initial strength. No amount of brutality against civilians could stop the Soviet advance, though. After settling the Warsaw Uprising, the Black Hunters were hastily reassigned to Slovakia to deal with another uprising. On August 29th, Slovak nationalists rebelled against the pro-Nazi government. Like the Poles, they wanted to get rid of the Nazis themselves before the Soviets invited themselves in to do it for them. The Delavanger Brigade arrived in mid-October and quickly set about dealing with the rebels. The brigade proved effective at contending with the Slovaks, bringing their characteristic brutality to Slovakia too. Notable here is the increased emphasis on looting. This was always a feature of the brigade's behavior, but it was unusually prominent in Slovakia, and it often seemed to be the group's primary aim. It might be that they saw the writing on the wall. The Reich's days were numbered, so they were trying to grab whatever they could before the war ended. Another explanation is that the character of the unit had changed thanks to the new recruits. After the high casualties in Warsaw, the brigade, which had begun as a group of poachers, was unrecognizable. Only a handful of its initial members remained, most of them now NCOs. The rest were a mix of reassigned SS or police officers, usually put there as punishment. About half were Wehrmacht soldiers, similarly placed in the unit as a disciplinary measure. The rest were a mix of prisoners and camp inmates pressed into service as Germany ran out of manpower. Only a handful of men did not have criminal convictions or some disciplinary referral. The Slovak uprising was crushed by the end of October, in no small part thanks to the brigade. They were briefly reassigned to Hungary a month later, but by then the Red Army was entering the country. They were quickly withdrawn back to Germany as the Nazis prepared to defend their homeland. The brigade received its final promotion in February 1945, when it was made into a full SS Grenadier Division. It was a hollow and pointless action. The German military was collapsing, and Allied forces were in the fatherland. Desertion and disobedience were spreading through the ranks, and the Delavanger Brigade was not immune. In the final months of the war, the Delavanger Brigade slowly unraveled. One by one, casualties and desertions whittled down its members. Delavanger himself was seriously wounded fighting in Brandenburg in late February, and used his injury as an excuse to slip away from his unit. He was considered a deserter by the end of April. The last of the Black Hunters made their final stand in Berlin. Perhaps a few dozen were left, and the last reports placed them in Berlin in the final days of April, where it is assumed they were killed by the advancing Soviets. Hundreds of the brigade's deserting veterans were still at large, though, not least of all Delavanger himself. Most would never be caught. It was impossible to track all of them, and even harder to conclusively link any of them to crimes. In total, about 700 veterans of the Delavanger Brigade are thought to have survived the war. It's a small consolation that Delavanger did not escape for long. He was found hiding by French forces on June 1, 1945. After realizing he was under a false identity, they managed to confirm his identity and threw him into a jail cell in Altshausen while waiting for trial. However, fate decided that his prison guards would be Polish. The Poles recognized the Butcher of Warsaw, and on the night of June 6, they slipped inside his cell, knowing no one would come to investigate the screams. Exactly what happened in there is unclear, but only the soldiers ever came out. Much like Hitler, sensationalist rumors of his survival in South America or Africa swirled for years. But most historians agree that Delavanger met his end in that cell at the hands of his guards. Few men have deserved a miserable end quite like Delavanger, but his death meant the Allies never had a chance to interview him. What other crimes his men committed, and how they rationalized it, if they even tried to, will never be known. We cannot dismiss Derlewanger and his men as regular sadistic psychopaths. Of course they were, but this was a fact that was celebrated and selected for by the Nazi leadership. Their depravity was a useful tool for the Nazis, one they continued to use despite, or perhaps because of, its devastating consequences. They showed how little compassion or empathy the Nazis had for anyone who didn't fit their vision. Polish civilians, Jews, Slavic civilians, the Nazis needed inhuman people to dish out the inhuman cruelty their ideology demanded for these groups. Perhaps this is why so many of their fellow Nazis hated them. The Derlewanger Brigade was the brutality of the Nazi regime laid bare. The ultimate proof that no amount of evil was off limits in the Reich's goals. And a terrifying reminder that there is nothing too evil that some human beings won't do.